What's up, everyone? This is Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meany, Ashley Docking here with you on this wonderful Friday afternoon live from the Fantasy Sports Network studios. Hey, Chris.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Not bad.
I'm so excited today. Jim Saunas
yes.
is joining us. We're doing NFL, DFS, but...
He's such a positive guy, too. Jim, I want some, like, negative from you today, so...
Yeah, we're going to put him in a tough spot and be like, rain on people's parades. Let's see some hate, Jim. Because he's almost like Pete Jensen in that sense, where he like won't say anything really bad about
just
someone.
Suspect. Yeah. The defense is just suspect. we're going to get some of his favorite plays this weekend in DFS, but we're also going to get some fades. We want to know who to avoid. So sometimes a lot of the time, just like chalk players here, but we're going to dig a little deep and look at some high-priced guys that Jim's avoiding.
And then we're going to talk NBA DFS. A lot of chalk plays, probably.
Yeah,
all the big guys. Russ is in action. You got James Harden in action.
Yeah, you got Davis,
Golden State, their whole roster.
Golden State super team.
So, we got a lot to get into today. But first, let's just talk about the Thursday night game. Marcus Mariota, he did a pretty good job. Titans won at home, 36-22, 270 yards, 2 touchdowns. The most points that the Titans have scored this season. And it was crazy. The headline that I saw was like, finally get it together at home. So the Titans are 3-0 against Jacksonville at home since 2014, but they're 1-17 at home versus the field during that time as well. So tough for Titans fans.
Yeah.
Tough stretch.
It could be worse. You could be a Jaguars fan. Marcus Mariota, according to Pro Football Focus, that was his best game of his career, and now he has 4 straight games with multi-touchdowns. Hey, listen, 51 fantasy points in his first 4 games, 95 in his last 4. I mean, at halftime, 16 for 19, 219, 1 touchdown, 132 passer rating. He finished on the night 81% completion percentage. Just fantastic from this guy. I'm very impressed with him. I mean, he's starting to find a little bit of a groove. I know the last 4 weeks were easy matchups, but you look ahead the schedule, he does have some easy matchups again. He's got the Colts. He's making things happen with his legs. And how about sprinting and running up front and blocking for DeMarco Murray?
I was just going to say that. I was like,
so
the 14-yard
nice
reverse
watch.
The play
yeah.
and getting in the game.
And you could see he was starting to run a couple Chip Kelly plays, and we'll get into Chip Kelly and what he was not able to do with DeMarco Murray in a little bit, but it was cool. Like, there was a couple plays that I noticed that Oregon and Chip Kelly and Marcus Mariota ran. It's like when the run is not there, the read option, instead of, you know, giving it to Murray or keeping it himself, he'd run a little bit and then throw it behind the line of scrimmage to Kendall Wright, and they'd move up and they'd get the first down. So some impressive stuff from Tennessee. He's starting to find a little bit of a groove. Marcus Mariota, I think, is startable now. When before, you couldn't really
not
start
with
him with confidence.
Yeah.
It was like 2 quarterback leagues, or now we're talking about teams being like 6 teams on bye this week, next week, week 11, 6 teams. So I think you can get away, matchup dependent, playing Marcus Mariota.
Hey, the Chargers next.
I think you can play him
this
in that
week.
Game.
I think you can play him against the Chargers.
Game, sure.
And DeMarco Murray, you mentioned 123 yards rushing, a touchdown, almost 500 yards of offense for the Titans in such a great game. And you mentioned the 14-yard touchdown run where he reversed the field. 6 touchdown of the season for DeMarco Murray. So people are glad if they drafted him in their season long. Blake Bortles, a little less successful, still not 33 for 54.
You know what he smells like?
No.
Garbage. It smells like garbage. I'll get into that in a second, but I just want to go. Bortles. You see the stats there.
3 touchdowns, no interceptions. It's not terrible, terrible
he played
outing.
Awful.
He was the leading rusher on his team. 22 yards
sure,
on the
Chris
ground.
Chris Ivory's awful too. I mean, if you were just to look at the box score of football games and you see, you know, Marcus Mariota and you see
Blake Bortles
and you see Blake Bortles in 6 touchdown passing leagues get double the amount of points that Marcus Mariota had, and you're like, wow, Bortles had a pretty good game. You know, 337 yards, 3 touchdowns, no picks. This guy was awful. He was pathetic. In the fourth quarter, he was getting all these points. He's got a touchdown with like 1 minute
Here's
left.
Here's the thing.
1 second
care about
left.
We don't care about real results.
You should.
Not
I know
this,
it's like fantasy. I get it.
337 of offense.
And that's why I kind of liked him heading into the year, because his team is so bad that he just does this. Listen, Rich Hibar, a friend of the network, works for Roto World, Roto Grinders. He came up with some awesome stats.
Okay.
I fact check just to back check, and they're correct. 39 touchdowns in his career. Or no, 39 touchdowns in the second half, 19 in the first half. This is his touchdowns by quarter. 4 in the first in his lifetime.
Yeah.
15 in the second, 13 in the third, 26 in the fourth. This is just what we get from Blake Bortles. It's like his team
garbage
is no
time.
Good. It's garbage time. And that is, again, why I kind of liked him, because I was, and that's been the narrative for him for the past couple seasons. But if you watch that first half of that football game yesterday, he was just awful. I mean, he's throwing it to Allen Robinson. They're clearly not on the same page. Robinson had about 15, 16 targets. Finally, in the, you know, towards the fourth quarter, he was able to have a respectable game. You know, 70 yards, 7 catches, gets you 10 points in a half PPR league. But just, he just wasn't on the same page. He's whipping him in there. For me to you, he's throwing it like 100 miles an hour.
Catch the ball. I don't understand. It's your job. You have one job. Catch the ball. Brett Favre did it. It was fine.
I guess.
Brett Favre kept a tally of fingers that he broke in his locker.
And Brett Favre did whip it in there. So? I just want to, can I go back to Murray for a second?
No.
Can we just rip Chip Kelly for just like quickly? I mean, 12 is the fewest fantasy points Murray has had so far this year. He has six rushing touchdowns. He had six last year. 19 points in six of his eight games, fantasy points. Six games over 80 yards rushing, four games over 100. Last year with the Eagles, three games over 80 yards and one game over 100 yards. Mm-hmm. It came like near the end of the year and six touchdowns. I don't understand why Chip Kelly couldn't make this guy work, but we said at the start of the year, Ashley, if you could flip Gurley for Murray,
do it.
You do it.
Do it.
And this guy is going to have triple the amount of fantasy points by the time it's all said and done.
You know who didn't do it? This guy.
Yeah.
Rocking Todd Gurley hard. He's on bye this week. I'm actually, it's the most happy I've been to have him on my team.
Because you don't have to start him.
I don't have to play him.
You don't have to play the guy.
Quarterback controversy brewing in Dallas. Tony Romo practicing for the first time since his injury. This guy's only played four games over the last two seasons due to injury. And here's my theory. They don't really want him back.
No.
I feel like Dak, well, Dak's the future.
Yes.
Okay.
Dak to the
obviously.
Future.
Obviously. Dak to the future. I like that.
Yeah, no
and
bad.
If you're into kind of throwing shade, so Chris and I talked about this. Our camera guy, Mikey, big Dallas fan, thumbs down to no Tony Romo. They don't even have him on the website anymore. No Dez, no Tony on the splash page for the Dallas Cowboys
it's
website.
All about
it's
Zeke
Dak and
Dak.
Zeke. It's the new frontier has moved in. Dak's been great, and he's just outside the top 15 quarterbacks for fantasy points. He has three rushing touchdowns that matches Cam Newton as tops. When he finally got comfortable, the throwing touchdowns kind of got there, touchdowns. So, I don't know. It's going to be a really tough decision, and it's going to be one of those things for owners, especially in two quarterback leagues.
Yeah.
What do you do?
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, this is a tough situation for Dallas. I mean, you see Dak there. He's going to start against the Eagles. This is going to be, I think, one of his toughest games, actually. I mean, the Eagles are going to bring it.
I'm excited for this game.
Arguably the best offensive line in football, and they're going to blitz. I mean, you saw what they did to Sam Bradford last week. They're going to blitz. They're going to stack the box. They're going to make Dak try to beat them with the arm, not just give Zeke all this, because Zeke has been great, too. But how could you go from Dak to Romo if they don't lose football games? I mean, they have Cleveland next week. So if they win this game and they win against Cleveland, I mean, Dallas is already saying that he's the starter for the next 2 weeks, as you said.
Sure.
If they win those next two games this Sunday night against Philadelphia and then next week against Cleveland, sure. And then what do you do? I mean,
you're just going to go to Tony Romo, a guy who's played four games since the start of last season? Here's the theory, though. As a veteran, you can't lose your position due to injury because you didn't get outplayed for it. It was a freak injury. It happened. It's like, I can't lose my job if I go on maternity leave. You can't fire me. You just can't do it because it's not my fault.
It's also a good situation because they're winning football games. They don't need to rush back Tony Romo, and that's what they're being. They're being cautious with Romo. And you know what? Honestly, actually, like, if Dallas is going to make the playoffs, and then they probably will, especially if they beat Philadelphia and they continue to roll here.
Sure.
What's the best chance they're going to win a Super Bowl, with Dak or with Tony Romo? I think it's Tony Romo.
This year.
But I think that Dak should keep this job and keep rolling until there's a little bit of controversy with Dallas in that offense. Because right now, how could you remove him? I mean, if you remove him, they start losing games. And then what are you going to do? You're going to go back to the Rook? I don't think that's good. I don't think that's good news.
It's tough.
Yeah,
All right, we got to go to break. But can we just say Kawhi Leonard?
He might win MVP this year.
That's all. He's the first person since 2002 to go back-to-back games to open a season with 30 points, 5 steals.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah, he might win MVP. If Harden can't get his team there and Westbrook can't get his team, and you're not going to give it to anybody in the Warriors.
No.
So, I mean, he could win MVP this year.
And Defensive Player of the Year.
But it's going to come
a
little
What a guy. All right, we'll be back. Jim Sonnis joins us. NFL fades.
Fades.
This is Fantasy Sports Today. Chris Meaney, Ashley Docking here with you. NFL DFS time with Mr. Jim Sonnis from NumberFire.com. And instead of talking about the most popular plays, the chalky guys, we're going to go and talk about some of the guys, you know, barbers. It's the hardest haircut to master.
Ooh,
the fade.
The fade.
We're going with fades today.
Nice.
Hey, Jim, how's it going?
I like that.
It's not too bad. How are you two doing today?
Real good.
Real good. Yeah, real good. Okay, let's get into it. As Ashley said, I want to know some fades, man. I know you're a very positive guy, but I want to dig deep here and just like maybe it's chalk. Maybe it's chalk at the top of the quarterback position that you're just not willing to pay up for in tournaments this weekend. What's your take on the quarterback position for week 8?
Yeah, I think it is mostly chalk. The guy that I'm probably fading this weekend, especially in tournaments, is Jameis Winston. I don't like using inefficient quarterbacks when they're the chalky situations. And that's probably what Jameis Winston will be this weekend. I would assume he'll carry decent ownership going up against the Raiders. And in a vacuum, it makes sense. Oakland's pass defense has been awful this year. But Winston ranks 25th in NumberFire's pass efficiency metrics. He is right ahead of Ryan Tannehill, Blake Bortles, and Ryan Fitzpatrick. That's kind of the company that he has when it comes to efficiency. And when he's in that area, I don't really want to use him as a chalk option. If he's like 5% against Oakland, sure, I'd use him, but I don't think I can do it here. I'd rather go to Carson Palmer. He is the exact same price on I think he's actually 100 cheaper on FanDuel. He's going up against the 22nd ranked pass defense in Carolina, and I think that it's a good spot for Palmer to bounce back at super low ownership. So I like Winston in a vacuum, but when I look at that ownership and his inefficiencies, I think I'd rather pivot and go with Palmer in a spot where you could get him at low ownership, but potentially high upside too.
With six teams on bye and talking season long, if somebody's trying to stream a defense, would you consider Oakland, even though they're so bad? But I mean, you talk about the inconsistency for Mariota and the completion percentage and just him being out of whack sometimes. Would you even consider Oakland in a season long if you're really desperate?
Winston.
I probably wouldn't for Winston. Because you're looking at Oakland and their defense is bad enough where I don't think I'd want them. I prefer my defenses favored and at home. I think that Dallas is a team that's on waiver wires. I'd probably defer to them. I think they have a good floor this week. So for me, it kind of goes against my process to use a team like Oakland, and especially when they're bad. It's not that I dislike Jameis. It's more that I dislike the situation that he's in terms of ownership.
Fair enough.
Yeah, and Carson Palmer is primed for a bit of a burst. He's only thrown two touchdowns in the last 4 weeks, and not more than one each week. So he's
supposed to be trending
up. It's not the Palmer we're used to. Well, let's talk running backs then. Who are you looking towards? I know a lot of people like Ezekiel Elliott, but against Philadelphia, they've got something to prove.
Yeah, for sure. And I think that if you're using Ezekiel Elliott, I think he's fine for cash. I think that he's got a good enough floor where you can definitely use him in cash, but he's not a tournament back I would consider. And all that comes down to the pace of this game. If you look at the Eagles and the Cowboys, they rank 29th and 30th in situation neutral pace, according to Football Outsiders. And if you go just based on raw pace, they are last and second to last. So basically what that means is that there aren't going to be a whole lot of plays in this game. And while Zeke can do well enough on low volume, it's going to be lower volume than we expect with him. This Eagles defense, you can exploit them on the ground a bit, so it's not as if he's a bad play. Mm-hmm. I just think that there are higher upside alternatives who are cheaper than him. Specifically, I love Lamar Miller for tournaments this weekend going up against Detroit. He has been just a beast ever since Dwayne Brown came back at left tackle. I mean, they've been mauling dudes, and Detroit has been exploitable going that same direction. So I like Lamar Miller as a tournament guy, and I just think that when looking at Zeke Elliott, the situation for him with that low pace really caps his upside and pushes him out of consideration for me in GPPs.
What about someone like C. Mike? He's expensive, $7,300 on DraftKings, but a good matchup against the Saints. Is that one instance where you would probably pay up for someone that might be high-owned?
Oh, absolutely. I love C. Mike this week. I think he's in a really fine spot, and I think that people are sour enough on Seattle where he may not even be as high ownership as he should be. So I think that C. Mike's a great play on both sites. You look at that Saints defense, they're 32nd against the rush based on NumberFire's metrics. I like C. Mike. I like Russell Wilson, Doug Baldwin, Jimmy Graham, everyone on that team. I do want exposure to the Seahawks, and I think that C. Mike is a great avenue to get it.
Yeah, and I mean, there's also a couple backs that you can just pay down for. I mean, Spencer Ware's price is not even all that expensive, $6,800. Devontae Booker now has a starting job. He's fairly cheap. His ownership probably going to be through the roof. Also, Ty Montgomery probably going to be through the roof with seeing what he was able to do last week. Is this someone you're willing to play, or are you fading him?
Yeah, I'm not super into Ty Montgomery. I think that the ownership there will probably be high. It'll be lower on FanDuel, where he's running back eligible just because of guys like Booker and such. But with Ty Montgomery, I think we're all operating under the assumption that it's going to be the status quo for him in the backfield. And now it seems like Don Jackson might be able to play this week. He's been practicing with a protective glove on his hand, which was not broken. And also, Nile Davis has had more time to get integrated into the offense. So I guess for me, I think that it's kind of the same situation with Jameis Winston. Winston. In a vacuum, I think Montgomery's fine. But when you add in the high ownership on him on other sites, I don't think I could really do it. I think he has a good floor again for PPR, but with that role change and the potential for Jackson and Niall Davis to come back, I don't think I'd want Montgomery. That said, I do love the Packers' passing offense. Randall Cobb, Devontae Adams, they're both in really good spots, and I think that I like them a whole lot more than I like Ty Montgomery.
Do you like those guys more than you like Jordy Nelson? I mean, doing my rankings, I'm sitting there, I'm like, yeah, Montgomery, Adams, Cobb, third most targets the last, or most targets the last 3 weeks. It's like I got Jordy Nelson with no respect. Like, am I wrong?
No, I don't think so at all. He only has 11 targets the past 2 weeks, and he probably will get Desmond Trufant in this game, and I really don't want any part of that. So with Jordy, I would assume he'll be pretty unpopular. I'd assume that his ownership will be low, but it's not really a situation where I'm tempted to dive in and try to take advantage of that low ownership, just because it seems as if the Packers are trying to spread the ball out more. They're getting Cobb and Adams involved, and that really does hurt Jordy in a spot where he's already facing a super tough matchup against Desmond Trufant. So no, I think you're totally justified in putting Nelson down in your rankings.
Even if Chris was wrong, I know you wouldn't say that he was wrong live on air. You might send him a little email or tweet after, like in the DMs,
aggressive.
And be like, listen,
yeah,
Chris.
Minnesota's always go for the passive aggressive route, so I'd totally be down for that.
Okay, tell us a wide receiver you like.
I do like quite a few wide receivers, namely Larry Fitzgerald. I was talking about Carson Palmer before, but Larry Fitzgerald's price should not be where it's at. I mean, his market share is 26%, and he's 32% market share in the red zone, which is just stupid for a guy at his price. So Larry Fitzgerald going up against a pretty inexperienced Carolina secondary, I think, is in a great spot. I love me some Michael Crabtree as a guy who never gets the ownership that he should, even though he's more involved in the red zone than Amari Cooper. I would assume Cooper is still going to be higher owned than Crabtree this week, even though from, you know, a process perspective, I would rather have Crabtree, and he's cheaper on FanDuel.
Yeah,
so
same.
I like Crabtree a lot. I think that he's in a really good spot this week, and if you want to pay in that like 7,000 range, Fitzgerald and Crabtree are the two guys I would gravitate towards.
And no Michael Floyd. Looks like maybe no Michael Floyd, so that's good, even better news for Larry Fitzgerald.
I really actually just want to go back to the Crabtree Amari Cooper situation, because why is it that Crabtree will not get the respect that he deserves? Because he was great last year too, and then everyone's just like Cooper, and then the same thing this year, and then Cooper 4 of 5 for 29 yards and last game gets shut down by Jalen Strong.
Ramsey, excuse me. Who is strong, by the way.
He
looks great. Is it just an upside thing? I think people want to shoot for the moon. They want to win that $1 million, and I think that's where you go with Cooper. Is that how you feel about it?
Yeah, I mean, you look at the two from a talent perspective, Amari Cooper is probably a more talented player, which it makes sense that people would want to use him. He's a flashier guy. Like you said, he has a higher yardage upside, which does increase his upside. But at the same time, when they get into the red zone, it's going to be Seth Roberts for some reason and Michael Crabtree who are getting the targets. And Crabtree, you know, over the last 2 years, he's been super efficient in the red zone, too. So it's not as if he's just getting volume. He's getting efficient volume in the red zone. And Cooper, he's very good, but he's not quite there yet in the red zone, and I think that caps his upside. So I understand why people prefer Amari Cooper. He's flashier. He is more fun to watch in general. But for me, I would definitely prefer Crabtree this weekend in general.
Jim, we got to get out of here. We really appreciate your time. Just quickly, yes or no, are you paying up at the tight end position? Do you want Gronk in your lineups?
No, I can't go Gronk this week for roster construction purposes. Give me Jimmy Graham or give me Travis Kelce, and I'll just pray that the Chiefs decide to pass this week.
All right,
yeah,
well,
no kidding. Yeah, what's going on with Macklin, too? I need Jeremy Macklin to show up.
Yeah.
Jim, we love you, buddy. Thanks so much. Good luck with all your plays this week.
Thank you. Same to you. Have a nice weekend.
Bye. Yeah, even if you're like, Jim, take a look at my rankings. You'd be like, yeah, that's great.
I know you probably
you know,
would.
Yeah. It's just...
Carson Wentz, number one. Yeah, I guess. I mean, he could do something.
Blake Bortles, fine. All right, we'll be back. Bye-bye. NBA DFS on FST coming up next. Welcome back to Fantasy Sports Today, and we're back just in time because there was a heated behind-the-scenes debate about how stupid are the Bills, because LeSean McCoy has been downgraded to doubtful. Mike Gillisley, even though he was limited at practice, is expected to start. So the question remains, how stupid are the Bills for playing McCoy last week when he was clearly hobbling around during warm-ups?
I can't get into it. There's too many Buffalo Bills fans around here. I don't want to tick anybody off, but listen, I mean, LeSean McCoy shouldn't have played last week.
Yeah.
I don't care if he said that he was fine to play. I mean, he's your MVP.
Yep.
He's your MVP.
He's
going
to take you anywhere you're trying to go.
He's the reason you're going to make the playoffs. I thought they learned their lesson last year.
I thought they were going to make the playoffs.
Well, yeah, now they're not.
Now they're not going to make playoffs.
If, as for Gillislee, I mean, you could play him. He's a borderline top 20 back, like 22. 23.
You sound so downtrodden about it.
Like, yeah, because like they should have just played him last week and give him like 20, 25 touches. Like, then just, and then you'd have McCoy this week.
You know who gets a lot of touches? Russell Westbrook.
Man,
we're talking NBA DFS. Oh, yeah. The top guys on DraftKings. Westbrook, Harden, Curry, Irvin, Kyle Lowry, Kemba Walker, Victor Oladipo. Kyle Lowry, yeah.
Kevin Durant,
Give
Anthony
Kyle Lowry
Davis.
Some I'm looking at the point guard list, the all-around
Kyle Lowry. Yeah.
You're
it's like
pay for
Westbrook,
that later.
Harden, Curry, Durant, Kyle Lowry.
I'm sorry. Was he not the point guard of the team that went to the Eastern Conference Finals?
I know. Yeah. He is a stud. I'll give him that. But yeah, you're right, Ashley. There's a ton of unbelievable players tonight. Where do you start?
We'll start at Russell Westbrook because he was going to get a triple-double, but they didn't give him enough minutes. He got it in limited time with OKC in the opening game of the season. Ironically, it's James Harden that's been getting more assists, or that got more assists, excuse me, on opening night than Russell Westbrook. And interesting enough, even though his usage rate was really high, 31%, it was lower than expected because last year with games without Kevin Durant, it was about 40%. So it's been a little bit lower in a very, very small sample size, but we can expect triple doubles from this guy night in and night out.
Oh yeah, I think that, I mean, that's the thing. It's, you have to really decide, like, who do you want? Is it Westbrook or Harden? I mean, last week we said Harden because he was like $800 cheaper.
Yeah.
This week he's just like $500 cheaper, but both of them have good matchups. I mean, Phoenix likes to play a high paced tempo. That's what OKC likes to do. So I would start there in one lineup and I would do the other one and
in
I would just
lineup?
Go with Harden. I mean, there's a lot of stars tonight, but with Curry and with Clay and with Durant and with Draymond, it's just hard to trust one of those. If I was
it's
to pick
to make
one
right
warrior,
pick. Yeah.
I think it's Durant.
You got to pick out your crystal ball.
Yeah, I think it would be Durant because he does a little bit of everything. He sprinkles, like, he get you some boards. He can even get you some assists. He can block you a shot. But
I need to ask you.
Yeah.
Cantor or Adams? Because Cantor had the better performance, but Adams seems to be the
and
one
the
who's going to be getting more minutes.
Yeah,
and he's cheaper than Cantor tonight.
Yeah, so I mean, I'm all about saving the dollar, so I think that I would go perhaps Adams because he's going to start and he's going to get some more playing time. But Mike Leone was going to come on here today. He was going to pump Enes Kanter, and that's respectable because on FanDuel he's a little bit cheaper than he is on DraftKings, and you can get away with that because he is going to come off the bench. He's going to flirt with a double-double and most likely going to get about 20 points for you. You see there in the first game, 17 and 12. He can even chip in with a block. He got one there in that one game. But I just want to talk about a couple like under-the-radar players.
Do it.
I think in basketball, you really got to target like bad teams, like players on bad teams, because for one, they're cheap and they're just going to get a lot of playing time. So what I noticed from the Brooklyn Nets, and keep an eye on this situation, monitor it. Justin Hamilton, 7-for-12, 3 threes, 19 points, 10 boards. He had the second most minutes on that Brooklyn team. He's only $3,500 on DraftKings. Joe Harris, only $3,400 on DraftKings. 4 threes, 16 points, 4 rebounds, 3 assists, 2 blocks, 2 steals. Both of those guys under $4,000, going to get the second most minutes on the team, going to play 25 minutes plus. They took the second most and third most shots on their team. Mm-hmm. So I know Brooke Lopez is dealing with some stuff.
And Sean Kilpatrick also on that Brooklyn team.
And he
was
like, Brooke Lopez was like benched, I know, as well.
Yeah.
Like they benched him in that game. So just like getting those guys in your lineup will allow you to pay up for some of
the stats. Get those garbage time points. And then I like Jeff Teague tonight. It was we were wondering how he was going to fit into the Indiana Pacers lineup, him alongside Ellis. Who would get the assists? Would it be there?
Yeah.
We don't know.
They're playing at a high tempo
and they're playing really nicely together. He's more expensive than Ellis, though. And we do got to go, but first, Chris, surprise! I told you I would get you. So this is our flashback.
How did I
Friday.
Bring this up to you before the show started?
I know.
Hilarious.
So this is Chris and I. I'm in the blonde wig, even though Chris likes to wear the blonde wigs usually.
Oh,
Chris
baby.
Is just on the right-hand side.
Champ.
And this is when we were in broadcasting school. This picture is from 2012, and then we have Esten McLaren, Mark Van Herk, Peter Houston, some of our old classmates. This is in
Esten McLaren, may have heard of him.
He was on the
friend
show
of,
just
friend
the other
of
day.
The show.
Friend of the show. But yeah, Chris, this is my Halloween surprise for you on Flashback Friday.
Nice.
And I hope you have a great Halloween
weekend.
We should
maybe do it again on Monday.
At the same costumes?
Same costumes.
Bye, guys.
Have a good weekend.